Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
But the summer season is a good season. It's a good season, time when church kind of chills out a little bit, unless you're on team on a Sunday morning, right? But generally, the program chills out a bit, and it is time. It is time to refresh yourself and time to get refreshed, time to unwind a little bit, time to connect with people and connect with God. And I just want to bring in the next few minutes just a little bit of a word about being refreshed, how can you find yourself refreshed. It's a nice word, isn't it? How many of you need some refreshing? You're like, oh gosh, I could do with some refreshment in life and in God. And I think it's apart from just like we wear ourselves out and then we get refreshed, I think God wants us to kind of have in our lives almost a constant sense of being refreshed and being renewed in our life and in our walk with God, so that we don't just wear ourselves out. Some of us, we are worn out and worn down. And God wants to refresh you, but I think even today wants to help you to go on being refreshed so that you keep finding refreshment from God and refreshment in your life, and that we don't find ourselves just on the treadmill of life and just in the cycle of exhaustion. Oh, go on holiday. To exhaustion. I'll get to the weekend. To exhaustion. But that we find that there's a strength from God, and there's a life from God that he wants to impart into our lives. And hopefully in the next few minutes, we can talk a little bit about some of that. But I don't know if you've been watching the World Cup, and maybe less of us have watched the World Cup over the last couple of weeks after England went out. My interest waned somewhat, slightly picked up now at the semi-final stages, watching a little bit more. But certainly you watch these things, you can watch it on your computer. Now you can actually watch it live, but you can watch, sometimes you can get a page up that gives you the score, gives you the latest, this is what happening in text form. So you can kind of almost like, well, you sort of watch that while you're doing something else, can't you? Rather than be stuck on the TV, you can kind of keep looking at your computer screen and seeing the data. And what it does these days, it kind of every so often, it refreshes, right? It updates kind of automatically now. It'll say this page refreshes automatically. It means you don't have to keep clicking the button, but the time was you had to keep clicking the button, otherwise what you were looking at was outdated. What you were looking at was what had happened already before. And I think even for some of our lives, you know, we think, oh gosh, I wish there was an automatic refresh. But some of us have just got to find the refresh button in our lives, because the information we're looking at when we think about our lives and our situation is old information. And we need to hit the refresh. And when God refreshes us, he doesn't just make you feel slightly better. He wants to download into your life new information so that you're up to date on what he would be saying into your life at this time. He wants you to find a download of refreshing words into your life. Some of us are living off old information. Some of us are living off old feelings that we've forgotten to press the refresh button and allow God to come and refresh even the view of ourselves, the view of our circumstances. Sometimes we're looking at an old move of God and thinking, I wish God was still doing what he did then or what he did in my life previously. Well, wherever you're at, whatever God's done previously, there is a refresh button for your life, for just a new download, something new for your life. So this isn't just be refreshed and feel a little bit better, have a drink, cool off by the pool, but that God would refresh you on the inside for over this summer to take us forward into what he has for us into 2015 even. And in Matthew chapter 11, if you've got your Bible with you, Matthew wrote one of the accounts of Jesus' life that we call the Gospels, which means good news. And we're in Matthew chapter 11. I'm just going to read you verse 28 to 30. And this is Jesus. He stood up in the midst of a crowd. He's talking to a crowd of people. And he says to the crowd, so you can be the crowd today listening to the download from heaven of the voice of Jesus into your life. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. All of you who work, All of you who are working at life, all of you who are working at your circumstances, all of you that you're working at your situations, all who are laboring and are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. I think that's good news. Because some of us have read those words before, heard those words before, but we can't help somehow thinking that God wants to give us a heavy burden. God wants us to work harder. He wants to put more on our shoulders, more just responsibility, more, gosh, I've got to be like this and not like that. I'm down. But Jesus himself says, come on, look. Come to me if you are heavy laden and if you're laboring. You feel like you're laboring, I will give to you. I will give you rest. I will take the load off. That word for rest is also the root word, which does mean refreshing. It says, take my yoke, which literally means my teaching. That's what he's talking about. Take my words. Take my words upon you, not the words that you've been hearing. Take my words upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble or lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Say easy. And my burden is light. Say light. God's yoke, God, what God puts on us and on to our lives is easy. Supposed to be. Supposed to be. Doesn't always feel it. Don't always feel like I'm following God. This is easy. Come on, we are cruising. I feel like, gosh, this feels like a heavy burden. Maybe I'm just taking it upon myself when I'm supposed to be being refreshed in God and allowing him to strengthen me and trusting in him to see things through. But his yoke, his burden is easy and it's light. And some of us, it is like our soul hurts. I love that he says, you'll find rest for your soul. For your soul. Sometimes in life, it's like your soul hurts. The deep bit of you feels heavy. Maybe there's one or two of us in here today where it's like, on the inside, it feels heavy. My soul is tired. My soul is tired of going through this, trying to deal with this, trying to be this, when really I feel like I'm this. You're heavy and weary from life. Your soul is burdened and heavy from trying so hard. Some of you are trying really hard, you know, and good on you in one sense, you know, but you're trying hard at life and trying hard at being a good Christian. You're trying hard to solve everything. And God says, come on, you are heavy burden. I want to give your soul rest. Because there's some burdens that are so heavy, they seem to weigh down our soul. Burdens in our family. Burdens in trying to make the business work. Burdens in the pressure to succeed and trying to be better than I seem to be. There's burdens that weigh us down. But if we can take what Jesus teaches about who he is, about what he's done, about who we are, if we can be refreshed in that over this summer period, then I think that would lighten our load. That's the aim of Jesus Christ in our lives today, that actually we would lighten up. Turn to person next to you and say, lighten up. He wants you to lighten up on the inside. On the inside. He doesn't weigh us down with rules. He sets us free from burdens. This is our God. This is our Jesus who died for us. We've already heard that scripture today, that Jesus died for you. To take everything that would burden you, everything that would separate you from God, everything, every weight, he's taken upon himself so that you can be seated. This is your position, not where you've got to try and get to. I'm going to try and be seated today. I'm going to try and be seated in Jesus. I'm going to try really hard. He says, no, this is where you are. You're far above everything that's going on in Christ. And if we can find our way to just kind of relax a little bit into what God has already done for us, then I think we will find times of refreshing coming into our lives. And not just times of heavy burden. This is the season, summer of eat, pray, and love, building friendship together. But I love the word pray. This is so important for us that I would hope and believe for us that over this summer season that our own lives are refreshed in our connection with God and our walk with God, because there is the flow of life. Sundays are great, but we also need to carry on through the week and find ourselves in his presence. And I just pulled out a few things, okay? Some ways that we can be refreshed and some things that hopefully will help us find ourselves into some refreshment, okay? And then when I finish, we'll have some refreshments, okay? So that'll be nice. Okay, let's see how we go. Cool. So first thing, right? First thing I think that we need to do, if we're really going to find ourselves refreshed, right? The first thing we need to do is to take a breath. Take a breath. I think maybe that's the word for some of us, right? That we need to take a breath. You know, you sometimes find people, don't you, that they come at you and they're talking to you, and maybe you're that person, right? And you've got something going on, and you're just like, Gary, this is going on, right? And then this happened, and this other thing happened, and then I feel like this, and I don't know what to do. And you just feel like saying, whoa, take a breath. Take a breath. You're going to pass out. Take a breath. It says this in Exodus chapter 31 and verses 16 and 17. This is God's instruction to the people of Israel. Okay, this is God's instruction. He says the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath, which literally means to rest or to stop. They're to observe the stop. Observe the stop. You know, observe the stop sign. Observe, obey, the stop, the cease. Celebrating it. Wow. Sometimes I find when I get to stop, I feel like celebrating because I'm getting to stop. I'm getting to stop moving, stop acting, stop working, stop. I'm just like, this is good. You know, you can look forward to like, that's why people look forward to the weekend, look forward to the holiday. I'm going to get to stop. But God wants to build some stop signs into the ongoing sequence of our lives. Not just stop and do nothing, but there's a stop in God, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me, says God, and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. I love that. God worked hard 6 days and then stopped, rested, and was refreshed as a sign to us that you need to stop and you need to be refreshed. You need to stop. It's like when you go to the gym. I've just started back at the gym. I'm back at the gym. I know, you can tell, you say, Dave, I was wondering, I thought there was something going on with you today, something going on, and just started back, so I'm not quite in the groove yet. You know, I might come back after the holiday, a week of the holiday, I'm sorry, I failed. You get into the groove, oh, yeah, and it's so easy to get out of the groove, isn't it? But I started going to the gym, and I go on the treadmill, and then I go and do some of the weight exercise and stuff like that, and doing the rowing. But I find that I do need to stop. Along the way, I need to stop, right? After running, right? After running, for me at the moment, 10 minutes on a 6.5 speed at a 1.5 incline is quite tiring. So after that, I need to stop. Because if I just get off that treadmill, straight over to the rowing machine, and get off and just start pumping it, get off there and then start pumping the weights, I know I will pass out. I will. I first went to a gym like many years ago, and they did the thing where they take you around all the, you know, they say, oh, let's go around all the stuff, right? And I'm like, I'm not very fit. And I'm like, oh, you'll be all right. I said, no, really, I am not very fit. And I found myself after about 15 and 20 minutes, I was like, oh, you know, when the room's starting to spin and you start to see spots in front of your eyes. And he's like, what? And I'm like, just stop, get me water. Ah, oh, but you do need to stop. Because if I don't stop, I will pass out. And in the stop, I get to recover a little bit so I can go a little bit longer. In fact, if you stop, you find you can go longer in the things of life, in the things of God. So just take time to stop. If you're someone who just keeps running and running hard and running at everything and never stopping, then you find you'll run out, you'll burn out quicker than if you've got some stop points in your life. The word for refreshed there at the end that says God rested and was refreshed is the word nafash. I'm giving you the Hebrew today. Oh gosh. It's new day. I'm 40 now. I've started reading Hebrew. nafash, which literally means to take a breath. It means to take a breath. God stopped and took a breath. And some of us need to take a breath. You think, I can't stop, there's too much to do. Well, if you don't stop, you'll actually become less effective than if you do take a breath. I think it's been shown, right, that even on a work day, after eight to 10 hours somewhere in that zone, if you keep working, keep trying to work hard, your productivity actually starts to drop off. So you actually find yourself in a place of negative productivity for the day. I find it myself sometimes, you know, in my line of work, I'm thinking I've got to get this message together. I've got to do it. I've got to crank it out. I've got to keep going, and I'll try and stay up. Kids try and stay up. But I find that each hour I kind of keep trying to keep working, the less and less do I produce in that following hour. I've got to finish, so I'll keep going. And it's like as if I'd done 5 minutes, you know, within the first 6 hours, you know. It's like, oh, and then what I do produce at the end of the extra time, I'm like, I'm going to have to start again tomorrow anyway because this is a bit poor. Do you know? So actually you stopping actually will help you become more effective. Don't work yourself into the ground because it doesn't work. When we take a breath, it gives us a chance to do a few things. It gives us a chance to, number one, recover. Say recover. You know, I've got stuff to do, but sometimes it's going to have to wait because I need to recover. I need to recover, and kind of knowing that when I come back to it, actually I'll be more effective than if I just kept on going. It may help me recover physically, or help me recover emotionally. Some of us need to take a rest from trying to sort everyone else's stuff out. You say, no, okay, I'm taking a break on this one. I've seen too many people worn out by what we would say is love, right? But it can wear us out if we don't actually find the ability to say, stop, I am stopping. I'm taking a Sabbath, you know, from this because I need to recover emotionally because it's draining me. You're draining me. Sorry. Sometimes you've got to tell people. Sometimes you've got to, okay, you know, if you've got that relationship with them, this is draining me, John. Sorry, mate. Draining me, John. God, but John loves me. You got to find your way to stop. It also, if you're taking a breath, it also gives you a chance to take stock, to assess, to process. In this life, even when you're hearing messages on Sundays, we don't take a breath to process stuff. We don't stop to process what's going on in our lives. We don't take a stop to think, why am I feeling like this? You don't take a stop to assess where things are at, to take stock of things. I was reading somewhere recently that some of the most successful leaders that there are, one of the things that really helps them is to do a to stop list. We're used to hearing about a to-do list, to do, because I've got so many things to do. I better write them all down, to do this, to do that, to do the other, to do this. And I do feel quite good when I'm striking them off. That's helpful. But I find that maybe some of us need a to-stop list. There are a few things we need to stop doing. What do I need to stop doing? What is not helping me? What's ultimately not helping everyone else? What do I need to stop doing? What am I doing just out of duty? But if I stop doing it, it won't make that much difference in the end. I could stop. What can I stop doing and give to someone else if that's relevant to your life? You know, what could I stop doing? A to-stop list. Why don't you write one over the summer? It's quite exciting. There's some things to stop. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to add more. I'm going to take a few things off. I used to think I had to do everything and be everything and be ultimate pastor, right? And just love everyone and know everything and do everything and have all the answers. And I'm getting a lot more relaxed, right? About there's only so much capacity that we've got, and we're building church to be community, for everyone to bear a certain amount of the burden, a certain amount of the vision, a certain amount of the load. I don't have to be everyone to everything to everyone. I don't need to have all the answers. I'm quite chilled out about not having the answers now. And I used to be like, you know, you have a conversation with someone and you say, I've got to give them an answer. I've got to sound wise. They'll think he's a rubbish pastor. Oh, we're more chilled out now. It gives us a chance to be thankful when we stop and take a breath, because the problems consume us. The negatives consume us. The negatives weigh us down. The situations weigh us down. But when you stop, you've got an opportunity to be thankful, to look at your life and say, here's a few things I've got to be thankful for. Because thankfulness doesn't consume our life automatically. Problems do. The stuff does. The things that we need to do next consumes us. And actually, we need to take a stop in order to say, well, I've got a few good things. I've got some good family. I've got some good friends. I got a roof. I'm alive. Phew. And whatever, just to be thankful for what you've got. Just take a breath and that'll turn your perspective a little bit. That'll refresh you. That'll help you. Something else I'd read recently was just daily. It said, this really helps you, right? Write down three things in a 24-hour period, end of 24 hours, or the start of the next 24 hours. Write three things down that made you happy. In the previous 24 hours. And they don't have to be major things. You might have really enjoyed that cake and cup of tea. Eh? You might really enjoyed that. I went out and it's cake and tea. Oh, that was lovely. Cake and tea, that was nice. And what it does, it just brings back to mind how happy you were. And the happiness comes back to you. So it doesn't have to be major things. You know, I hope in your life you've got more than a cake and a cup of tea. Right? But if that's all you've got, start there. Okay? It's a start. And just write it down, and just because that was good, and it actually helps you. It just rejuvenates a little bit of thankfulness in your life, refreshes you, reminds you, I got some things to be thankful for. And fourthly, if you take a breath, it gives you a chance to enjoy what we have. You know, enjoy our family, enjoy some of the blessings. I haven't written the scripture down, but it says that God gives us all good things for us to enjoy. God wants to bless you. And wants you to enjoy the blessing. Not just live for that. I've got to live for the next blessing. There's enough hours in the day where we're living to pay for the next blessing. You know, we've got to enjoy it. Just enjoy family. Enjoy some time. Enjoy a holiday. So we've got to take a breath. And also we've got to, if we're going to be refreshed over this summer season, we've got to trust in His word. We've got to trust in His word. So I'm not preaching rocket science here today or anything that most of you haven't heard before, but I love this thought that over this summer, maybe we could enjoy His presence in our own time, in our own lives, because the refreshing really comes from being together here, but it also comes from your own time. God wants to speak into your heart. He wants to refresh your thoughts, refresh your thoughts. I don't think we can go a whole week. I can't go a whole week without needing some refreshing in my mind because things soon build up. I need to sit in the presence of God and get refreshed. Proverbs 19 verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. We've already talked about that, how our soul can be weighed down. But the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing. Say refreshing. Refreshing the soul. His statutes are, I don't know why that came out with a high-pitched voice just there. Was that you? Thanks, Laura. Are trustworthy. They are trustworthy. What God would say into our lives, His word is trustworthy. Who can you trust? I can trust God. I can trust His word. They are trustworthy, making wise the simple. And I have found in my life, I think if I've got any wisdom, any real wisdom in my life that I pass on to others or that I've got going on, it comes from trusting in what God says. It's come from His word. It's not come from me figuring it out and being Mr. Wise Pants. It's come from finding time in His word, being refreshed in what God would say and say, well, I'm going to give this a go. You know, you don't often hear it talked about law being refreshing. But the word of God, because often we use the word of God as if it's a little bit flexible and, you know, well, can take it or leave it, can apply it or not apply it, see where we go. But I think we need to take the word of God as His voice into our lives and say, this will refresh me. This will refresh my soul. His words about how good He is, about how much I can trust Him, about how we're more than conquerors, about I need to drink it in. I need to drink in the word of God. The word for refreshing there is the Hebrew word shub. It's another word. It's another Hebrew word. So everyone say shub. Thank you. It means to restore, to turn around. To restore or to turn around. God wants to restore your soul with the word of God. He wants some, maybe for some of us, to change the direction of our lives that's going on at the very core of us, even change our worldview. Before I became a Christian, I'd got to the point where I was like, I was so against the thought of marriage. I was like, why would I get married? Because all I've seen is breakdown and problems and this and that. And it's just not, my experience of this is not so good. And so therefore, that's just one area of my life that was completely opposite, right, to what God would say. But the word of God, I'm not just saying read it. I mean, knowing God, sitting with him, letting his word soak into your soul in his presence can even change you right at the core and change your mind. Change your mind. My mind has been changed. Not just through seeing something, but through experiencing his life and his word spoken into my life. And some of us need that, thinking, I don't know if I can agree with this. I don't know. Well, you probably need to spend some time with God on your own in his word. Take some stuff to God and allow him to change your mind. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, everyone say Satan. Good. Just keep you awake. In Matthew 4, verse 4, right? Jesus answers the devil himself by saying, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil he's got Jesus. He's hungry. He's been fasting 40 days. There's stones on the ground. And the devil goes, hey, you could turn those into bread. Why don't you do that? And God's like, I'm not going to do that because man doesn't live on bread alone. He feeds on every word that comes from the mouth of God. How many of us are weary from some kind of test going on in our lives, some kind of trial, even some kind of temptation maybe, but all we're feeding on is the thing that's testing us. All we're feeding on is the thing that's tempting us, the thing that is the trial, and we're feeding on that. And where we need to be feeding on what words are coming from the mouth of God. I'm not just talking about a prophecy that you had once, but actually from the word of God. I would love it if all of us were actually personally spending some time this summer. Let's have a devotional revolution in our lives. If you don't spend time with the Lord regularly, maybe I could challenge you this way. Maybe I could challenge you to spend twice this week, twice a week, 30 minutes. And I've heard people say, oh, if you struggle to pray, pray for 2 minutes. And then the next week, pray for 5 minutes. I'm like, well, gosh, it's going to be a long time before getting past two sentence prayers here, right? So I would say, right, if you had twice a week, 30 minutes. And I'm not saying 30 minutes, just go and pray, right? I'm praying coming up. 30 minutes, right? 30 minutes. Read your Bible. Try the New Testament. If you're not used to reading your Bible, try the New Testament. I'm going to sit. I'm going to read. I'm going to write a few things down. All right, this is, okay, I think this what this might mean for my life. How can I apply it? I could do this. And then write down, here's some things I need to pray about. This thing, this person, that person. I'm going to pray. And then I need to ask God, will you do this in my life? And will you help me with this? And will you do that, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you, 30 minutes will go pretty quick. 30 minutes will go pretty quick. If you're used to that, well, why don't you just say, I'm going to extend. I'm going to make sure that I'm putting into action what I'm hearing. So you need to take our breath. We need to trust in his word. And lastly, best way to be refreshed, I think, is to refresh your own world. It's to refresh your world. And when I wrote those words down, I thought this. I thought some of us need to actually refresh our world. We need to refresh our world. Our world needs refreshing. We need to refresh some relationships. We need to refresh some ideas. We need to. So I need a refreshing on my life, because what I'm looking at is it's kind of stale and it's old and it's not helping me. And I need to refresh my world. But that's not really the point I was going to make off of this. It's from Proverbs 11, verse 25. And just says, a generous person will prosper. Stingy people don't prosper. not ultimately. Maybe they'll have a lot of money, but they won't have a lot of life. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And yes, it's a different Hebrew word for the word refresh. It's the word ravor. Ravor. It means to water, to saturate, to abundantly satisfy. It's about a generous outpouring where the person receiving it can't take any more. They're full. Refresh. If you have that attitude of generosity and to refresh others around you, then we find that we become refreshed. Sometimes it's just through other people, because generous people find that people are generous towards them. And some of it is a spiritual principle where God is like, your heart is good and generous, so therefore God pours back into your life generously. I don't know if you've known people who've tried to kill you with kindness. I'm not talking about, you know, just overdoing it. I've been at a few people's houses where there's been so many courses to the meal that I just don't know where it's going to end. I was in Italy a few years ago, and they are generous. They are generous with the number of courses. And I remember one particular house we went to and the meal. And we were on like course number two, which I think is main course. I think this is the main pasta dish. Thank you very much. It's delicious. And the mum comes out and have some more. And you're like, well, it'd be rude not to. And you have some more. And you think, that was beautiful, beautiful. Maybe a waffle thin mint or something to finish off. And we're done. But no, that wasn't the main course. And the main course comes next. You're like, oh my goodness. Okay. And you're like, yes, and have some more. And you are in pain with the generosity of the host. And then you have the desserts. Hell no. And then you still know we've got some special. What's the cheese? Italy, hard cheese. Italy, Parmesan, isn't it? Parmesan. We've got some special, like Parmesan cheese and this new balsamic vinegar. It's ancient. It's like it's specially open. I'm like, I can't fit anything else in, but you just got to. I'm not talking about that, right? Don't kill people with kindness. But maybe we can be generous. Maybe we can have our heart to pour out. I love that our connects are doing great, and our connect leaders are doing so well, that we would build a family together, a place of opportunity for generosity. That as a team in the church, we're building on friendship. One of the things I said to guys, it's so important. Friendship is so important. I want to do this with friends, you know, not just people who agree with everything I say, but we're friends. On a mission, with a vision. We're building this out of relationship, not out of we've got something to do, but more like we've got something to do together. I love my birthday this last week. I did. It's nice. A lot of presents. Thank you for your generosity. I had more cards than I've ever had, I think, for any of my birthdays previously, which is nice. But some of us who were like, some of the team kind of went out for some food. And Lisa, who's not here, she's preaching in Preston today. She did she got everyone to write, like, do something creative, like write a poem or come up with a song. And I tell you, I was filled up. I was filled up with the kindness and the words and the love from that. I was amazed. The thing that probably struck my heart most was Steve and Georgia Barrow doing a rap. They did a rap in the pump house, just in front of everyone. There was like another family at a table, just looking, just trying not to know we were there. I'm like, how can you not know we're here? You're not even turning, are you? You're just carrying on this conversation, and we're like, they're rapping. You're not even looking. That's incredible. Well done to you. But maybe this summer we need to live out the dream to see our loved ones come to know Jesus Christ by mixing it up with our unchurched friends and our friends that are in church, and not defining them like that, but saying, these are all my friends. Let's mix it up a little bit. Let's have some people around. Let's do a picnic. Let's go out. Let's chill out together. Because it's my dream that the unchurched would, and your friends, and would come here and encounter God. Love it. Come back, bring a friend. We just, the momentum is in our hands for that. And it's not work harder. It's just, Well, why don't you refresh some people around your life? Why don't you refresh people and hang out and eat together? And you'll feel refreshed. You'll feel refreshed. Many of us have had the times where we thought, I'm too tired. I don't want to go. I can't do it. And then we do it. We come away. And we go, oh, I'm so glad we did it. You know? It's just one of those things. But I'm not talking about throwing all our resources into people that will just drain you. It's not, I'll go and be generous, so generous that you're drained of all your life and energy. But love, you know, he prayed, love one another. And to be fair, I still need my cave time, right? I'm not talking about going to spend all your time with people all the time, because I'm a little bit of an introvert, really. And I'm actually quite refreshed by being on my own. And a lot of us are like that, you know. Some of us are extroverts, and if we're around people, we are refreshed. I'm refreshed just by being around people all the time. But I'm like, I love being around people, and it refreshes me. But I do need to retreat slightly into a cave and refresh in the cave, right? So I'm not talking about just go and wear yourself out. I'm saying this should be like a nice refreshing summer of refreshing your friends and being generous and allowing them to be generous to you, of spending some time with God and taking a breath. Just turn to the person next to you and say, take a breath.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.